Thank you. This is Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And we're talking on the phone with Tanya Hacker, and her friend Tammy Wilson is there as well from Open Magazine. And you guys are at a haunted location, an undisclosable at this time, haunted location as we speak.
Yeah, and I'm standing on the stairs looking into darkness, and I'm just kind of sitting here like an idiot going, do I really want to go up here? But you know what, I'm going to.
So
I'm there.
If we hear
you know what, hey. I have no flashlight either. How awesome is that?
Oh, my gosh. So if you hear the phone, like, thud to the floor and then puts up...
If you scream, call 911.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm headed up to some weird area, and I'm climbing some stairs, so... But I'm talking. I'm here. Keep going.
Well, Tanya,
what's Open Magazine's website?
It is openmagok.com.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I mean, I knew that, but I just wanted to get on the air.
Yeah, and my ghost hunting website is Ghoulie.com. Or you can just type in Tanya Hacker.
Ghoulie.
And unfortunately, you can Google me, and I'm everywhere. So.
Well, you know what? You said that earlier. You said Ghoulie. And you know what?
Yeah.
I don't know if he still works with you guys or not, but Mr. Russell White, is he still
working? Yeah.
Yeah.
He isn't really working with us right now. He's kind of on retirement.
Okay.
He went and worked for a team in Tulsa, and he came back to Oklahoma. So,
okay.
He's kind of retired right now.
Russell wrote an article a couple of years ago on EVP, and
uh-huh.
I thought, I read this thing, I remember this vividly. It was like 6 a.m., and I just happened to just see this thing in my email, and I went through this article, and it got me so excited about EVP research again that I was on the phone with Doug like a half an hour later, pulling him out of bed. And if you know Doug, you don't pull him out of bed at 6:30 in the morning. But I'm like, we need to get this guy.
Not without consequence.
Yeah. Like, we need to get this guy on the show right away. So Russell, I know at that time he was part of Ghoulie. And when you mentioned Ghoulie, I was like, oh, hey, we know Ghoulie people. We know the people. We've known Ghoulie people for a real long time. You know, Tanya, we were talking the last half hour a little bit about the psychology kind of a paranormal investigation. And that's not a sore spot, but... a soft spot again for us here at the Haunted Winery also, because, you know, we've been around a little bit. We've back in the day, we did a lot of freelancing, let's just say that, okay?
Uh-huh.
And we met a lot of people that were like, you can hear the people running around. It's so cool. You're actually like right in the, I'm loving this. I'm hearing all this stuff in the background, Tanya. It's pretty funny.
I'm walking downstairs and my legs are shaking because I'm, for one, freezing, and there's some really steep, scary stairs, so... But keep going. I'm listening. I'm here.
But,
I'm going to a basement right now. So.
What I found, like, for example, I'll use this as an example, and Doug can probably help me act this thing out. We went to a place, and I met this person maybe, like, twice, I think, or something like that. And we got into one room, and I'm just sitting there just taking photos. I'm like, okay, this is cool. So what do you feel, Scott? And I'm like, well, I don't know. It's kind of hot outside.
I'm not going down there by myself. Sorry. I got to wait for somebody. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm like, well, you know, they're like, so what do you feel, Scott? And I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of hot outside. I'm kind of clammy and sweaty right now in this disgusting old house. That's about what I feel right now. You know, I really, in all honesty, I didn't feel anything. Well, the person that was with us was like, I feel an ominous evil presence over us. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, maybe somebody has BO. I don't know. What's going on here? I don't really feel anything. And as this little session progressed, this particular gentleman decided, you know, he said that he saw a ghost. He saw one. To the point where we were shooting photos and stuff, and he's like, Scott, turn around right there. Shoot the camera this way right here. It's standing right in front. Do you see it? Oh, my God. It's right there. And like, the dramatics come in, right?
Uh-huh.
It plays out like a Vincent Price movie, right? It plays like a total Vincent Price movie. And meanwhile, I'm standing there going, dude, I don't see anything in front of us, man. I don't know what you're talking about, man. It's right there. It's right there. Have you ever been put in a situation like that?
Actually, yeah. It's called hysteria. And I have an interesting article on my website. And what it is, this is a article that I found at it's the very first documented ghost story of Oklahoma, and this is like 1898, okay?
This is
in the newspaper.
All right.
And you can see the hysteria play out through the dates.
Okay.
I invite everybody to read it. But on location, when you're offering just a mere impression of something paranormal, the chain reaction of it is amazing. I do believe that a lot of hysteria is created and people will validate hauntings from it and they'll see things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they just give an impression and it's strong enough to those with an open mind enough to kind of take it there and to go along with it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bash psychics, but I personally do not utilize psychics on location because of that.
Yeah.
Because you can't prove to me that you're seeing somebody that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to prove it. But then there's like the rest of the people that are standing around and they're just freaking out. They're like smelling, you know, baby powder and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, my deodorant smells like baby powder,
yeah.
You know, and it's just, they take these simple little things and it just creates this huge hysteria. And all of a sudden it's all this paranormal stuff is going on. And it's like, no, come on, you know, just don't do that and keep your mouth shut. And, it happens probably with the hysteria thing, like with your scenario, it's probably 90% of every investigation. I don't care how skeptic or legit a team seems to think they are, it happens. It's just the most common thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not saying that ghosts don't exist. It's just saying that there's not that many ghosts. Just because it looks haunted doesn't mean it's haunted.
Exactly.
Type thing. But, yeah, I just kind of, like, just now, I'm walking out of a room, and I just, I don't know if it was somebody behind me. but it's like, okay, I got to get out of this room.
But that's the mind working right there. That's the mind working right there. I mean, this is
I'm actually thinking about ghosts, and I'm thinking about, you know, previous scenarios that I've been in, and it's just like, oh, you know, it's kind of creepy. Because
yeah.
I'm not a lot. I am here by myself. They're all outside. I'm in this building by myself with a flashlight. And I'm like, you know, but... the whole mass hysteria thing, I mean, if you read it, look at the Salem witch trials. I mean, it's just such a fact that psychologically hauntings are created very easily. And I've made a lot of people mad. We've taken volunteers on location.
Mm-hmm.
And with just a mere suggestion, I've had an entire room.
Crap. What was that?
Witness. I don't know. I kicked something or something.
Oh, no.
Crap. So I've been on location. I've had an entire room of people assume that they were smelling like cigar smoke.
Yeah.
They smelled it. It was there. It was real.
Mm-hmm.
And but I just made it up.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, everybody's witnessing it. Another location, I felt a sensation of being touched, which that has a lot to do with your nerves. And if you're walking a lot of stairs or kicking stuff or whatever, your nerves are jumpy. And so all of a sudden, the rest of the room felt tapped on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a little suggestion. And
mm-hmm.
I created all this hysteria with just a small suggestion. And, you know, later I kind of came out and said, you know, I kind of used you guys. I'm sorry. But you know what? They witnessed paranormal activity.
Yeah. Well,
it was very easy to do, you know.
That's interesting because we had explored those possibilities a little bit here on Ghostly Talk. We did talk toward the end of last year, beginning of this year, with two folks who use, I guess, the power of the mind
mm-hmm.
to create phenomena or at least create the belief that phenomena has happened. We talked with the amazing Kreskin,
mm-hmm.
and we also talked with Uri Geller.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them have long histories of being able to do amazing things, whether it happens in, you know, it's phenomena or the suggestion of the phenomena,
mm-hmm.
it happens.
Yeah.
It's real.
And it's it's as real as knowing your name because you know that that just happened.
Right.
And or is going to happen or, you know, was happening at that time. And they use the psychology...
Mm-hmm.
To get their point across. Although that watch starting and the laptop thing kicking back on after years of being dead, that's phenomenal.
That kind of creeped me out.
I don't know how those things happened, but the watch starting up and the laptop coming back to life.
I've witnessed things that I know for a fact were real to me, and I won't ever try to convince anybody that they were real. but they were real to me.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen apparitions. I've seen objects moving. I've been touched. I've had my hair pulled. I've had an earring tugged at. I had a hoop earring on, hence the ghost diva thing. because if I'm going to, I'm not going to look like crap if I'm going to a ghost hunt. You know, I dress nice.
There's
you know,
people's,
I hear where is it written that you have to wear matching T-shirts and look like you just rolled out of bed, you know?
Well, I hear there's people with cameras on a ghost hunt, so you always want to look your best.
Yeah, you got to look nice, you know? Okay, I'm entering this bathroom. Hang on, I got to cut in here. This bathroom has got the tallest ceiling I've ever seen in my life.
We can hear
and,
the echo.
Yeah, you can actually hear it.
God,
it's amazing.
This is an incredible bathroom, and... Ooh, it has a blue bathtub. Tacky. this whole place is just amazing. The tile work, I mean, just the architectural elements of this place, this is, like, just totally amazing.
Well, and how old is this place? Do you have any idea?
We are getting ready to start doing historical research on it. We had to come and find the place first, and that has been a chore that's been going on for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally found it yesterday evening. And it was getting dark, and we were out here with no flashlights, and something scared me. And I'm like, we need to go. You know, I don't think we should be here.
Yeah.
And it was just me and a couple of my, you know, girlfriends, and we were just kind of like hearing, you know, a bunch of girls going, and we, like, ran out. And, you know, but we came back today, and we've been out here for a few hours, and we've just had an amazing time and discovering this place. But we do believe that it was built. Just with the architecture and the tile work, I would say probably 1910.
Okay.
Because you can usually tell by bathroom tile work when buildings are built. Because when they show detail, you know, like those itty-bitty little circles.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of quit doing that in the 20s because it cost too much with the Depression and all that. So you can kind of get an idea, but we're getting ready to start with the history because there's some uniqueness to this history, to the building.
Would you just walk
and,
into now?
Are you, I'm in the bathroom again
It seemed to get it, the reverberation came back again. You can actually hear how big that room is.
Well, I kind of, I'm going to tell you, I kind of feel safe in here. And there's Tammy. That's why. I kind of feel safe in here. And she's in here now. She's getting ready to sit on the toilet.
I'm glad we're not filming.
She's checking out the tile work in the toilet, and she's checking everything out. Like, the toilet seat cover, I've never seen one like that in my life. It's just bizarre. The details in the building, you know, I'm a big nerd when it comes to design, and, you know, I'm a girl. I mean, I'm like, ooh, that's fabulous, and, you know. But we're just exploring. But I feel safe in the bathroom.
The real lesson to learn today, it sounds like. And I, you know, obviously you probably go through the same thing I do, Tanya. Same thing Doug does too. Where you know you tell people what you do, and they're like, oh wow, man. So like you know, have you ever seen a ghost? That's like the first question, right? Have you ever seen a ghost? And I'm like, you know, I have my you know my long drawn out 500-page novel answer to that question, but I always tell people, like, look, you know, man, if you want to see a ghost, I can make you see a ghost. It's very easy to make you see a ghost, and you explained that already pretty much, but I mean, to put a cap on it like that, it's very simple. You just get somebody in a car, and you've given some more in-depth examples, Tanya.
Freak them out a bit.
Well, if they're open-minded enough to be in that situation in the first place, they're open enough to ghosts. Otherwise, they wouldn't even be at a place that's rumored to be haunted. And so you already know right then and there that it's going to be very easy to offer them a very small suggestion, and they're going to witness more paranormal activity. Oh, there's a door there. Activity than they're going to ask. I mean, and that's what's fun about it, you know, and it's entertaining and stuff, but, you know, it's kind of like the power. You know, like, yeah, I have the power to create ghosts, you know, kind of cool. I told you I have a little evil side to me. You know, it's not messing with people's mind because, you know, like I said, it's real to them. And you can't tell them otherwise. And, you know, there's a couple, I call it like parrot hysteria. There's a couple articles on my website where we had actually haunted a high school, a high school auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
I gave a suggestion to a high school student that I caught something on my night shot video camera. And I said, you go back and you tell it was my niece. I was like, you go back and you tell your friends that your aunt, the ghost hunter, caught some anomaly on film during your dance recital. So this is 4 years later. This is a four-year project that I have posted on my website. And to this day, even with the explanation of the haunting, I still have kids email me going, hey, that place is haunted. And well, they will argue about it.
Well, Doug, you know, we talked about this a long time ago, Doug. But we discussed this. I don't know if we talked about it on the air or if we talked about it in conversation. But you talked about a project that was done a long time ago with people.
Philip Experiment.
The Philip Experiment,
yeah. Where they created.
They can create, yeah. It does seem to bear out that a bunch of humans together can create phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And this goes back to the responsibility of the ghost hunters with validating history before they go in and validate phenomenon before anything. Because a ghost could be created easily. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most people will admit it. But if you don't have the history, you're acting on legend. And, you know, we just created a story at that high school.
Mm-hmm.
We just created it. And there's more stuff going on. Even my niece, who was in on the joke, she's an eyewitness stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she knew everything that was going on. And she's like, no, there is some weird stuff going on there. And these kids created it, you know.
Wow.
And that just responsibility of doing the historical research to validate it. Because if somebody ever did, you know, 10 years down the line, investigate this high school, they're going to find out that there's absolutely nothing to that.
Yeah, exactly. And there
I
know the reason behind what you're doing is it is a scientific approach to make a point,
and it's more of a psychological approach. And, you know, because a lot of people in the field, they confuse science with technology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like science and technology is really not the same thing. It's like an EMF meter going off does not mean that you're using science.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just simple things where people are getting things twisted, and this is totally my opinion, but I do think that psychology, I'm in the basement, you guys, so you're going to be proud of me. Yay! I made it. oh, wow. Okay. But the whole thing with just applying psychology in common sense, I'm getting ready to teach a workshop. It's the common sense approach to ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not offering any kind of technology or how to use a meter or anything like that. I'm using common sense. And, oh my God, what is that? Hang on. Hang on, though. Oh, shit.
I'm giving this lady a lot of credit for carrying a conversation with us on a radio show. I couldn't do this.
There's like another level. Hang on. Where the hell am I? I'm doing a common sense approach to ghost hunting. Oh, these stairs suck. and we are teaching people how to be skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not the idiotic, rude, ghost hunters are stupid skeptic. I'm talking like, you know, if you're smelling something and it smells like, you know, cigarette, look around for a dead tobacco can or, you know,
yeah,
or something.
Look around for a cigarette butt somewhere.
Yeah, you know, it's
like
just common sense. Or in the most common thing is I have a couple examples that I want to throw out.
Mm-hmm.
People who wear Degree deodorant, a lot of deodorant will activate once you start getting that adrenaline going.
Oh, yeah.
People report baby powder smells all the time. And they're like, oh, that's a baby powder. I'm like, it's your frickin' armpit, you know. I mean, smell your armpit or smell your people that are with you. Smell their armpits. You know, it's like, that's not what you're smelling.
No.
And, man, it's creepy down here.
Well, that's, you know, that's a really, really, really interesting idea, too. Because, I mean, that really makes sense to me. Because, I mean, there's been so many places we've been to where it's like, do you smell that? I'm like, what do I smell? Like, you're supposed to smell roses here. Don't you smell the roses? I'm like, no, somebody just farted, dude. It smells nasty in here. I don't know what you're talking about. But you'll have, that's just a hysteria again.
And then another thing that's very common sense is, because I specialize in EVP, and can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It just seems like the acoustics down here are pretty weird. So with EVP, the most common name, and I have listened to so many random people's EVPs over the internet over the years, the most common name of a ghost is Mary. And I have a topic in my workbook about there's something about Mary. I have actually recreated the word Mary from just someone like me just trying to breathe, you know, because your adrenaline gets up, you breathe differently. And I've tested it out on my recorder, and you know what? It sounds like EVP. It'll even read a lower hertz level. But you know what? It's your breath. And it sounds like some woman or man is saying Mary. And with a breath, it's just pretty amazing. And that's the most common ghostly name in America is Mary. And that's the first name that people assume. And
that's,
of course,
that's on a playback you're talking about.
Right, on a playback. And the most common phrase across America is help me, which is also, I totally believe, is breath play.
Sounds
and
like it rhymes with Mary.
We have one of those. We played on Coast to Coast AM, man.
Yeah.
And people aren't doing that, and it's like, I'm not picking on other teams. I just want them to go, okay, it's very whispery. And has it ever crossed your mind that one of your, you know, 350-pound smokers does climb the flight of stairs, and that's their breath, you know? And I'm not being mean. I mean, it's just, it's very common sense. It's, you know, and it's like, I'm a smoker, and you can hear me. I'm like huffing and puffing just because I climbed a couple flights of stairs.
That all makes a lot of sense. That's why I always stress the importance, and I'm a victim to it. I'm a victim of it myself still, is that when you run an EVP session, the best practice is to always go back and listen immediately after the session's done. It's very difficult to do that, I know, though.
Yeah, what I do is when I'm running audio, I will videotape my team. I don't videotape for ghosts. I videotape my team because I catch people. People do things to their voices and they don't even know it. Tammy, she's one of the worst. She can do all these weird noises and she doesn't even realize it. And her voice will fluctuate so much from a childlike to some woman that's like 90 and has been smoking cigars her whole life. You know, it's just really weird. And it's just paying attention to the obvious. I'm in a really disgusting bathroom right now. This is just gross. And there's, like, mouth turds everywhere. Okay, I got to get out of here. This is kind of nuts.
You went from a palatial bathroom.
Yeah, I'm down on the, I believe that, I don't want to give away the location, but I believe I'm in some kind of servant's quarters or something.
Okay.
Because this is, like, not as nice as the rest of the place. These are, like, weird little rooms that, you know, like where you'd put the bad kids, you know? And this one, I can't believe I'm walking through here. I must feel some comfort with you guys. This is like freaking bizarre. Especially not having anything. I just have a phone and a flashlight.
Oh, you have 3 minutes to get back to safety.
Okay, and I'm going too. I am not going to be in here by myself.
These are all great ideas. Right. These are all amazing ideas, though, Tanya. And, you know, the funniest part is that a lot of these, you know, what we've really talked about a lot here is, hey, look, you know, and you know, one of the best. We actually have this man coming on the show in about a month or two, Dr. Ken.
Remember Dr. Ken? I remember Dr. Ken.
You know, and when I talk to you, Tanya, I think about Dr. Ken because we met this man years ago, and we had a little discussion that we decided to go to, and he came in and pretty much guns a blazing had said a lot of the same things that you've said. And I mean, in my opinion, a good person, a person who's out there, a good ghost hunter, whatever you want to call that, is somebody who's going to always, and it's been said 1,000 times before, everybody says it, but it's the truth, is somebody who's going to rule out every single obvious option there is before you claim it's a paranormal occurrence, whether it be on video, tape, picture, whatever, or something grabbed you or something like that. You're going to go through every single thing you can to make sure that it is, you know, that it's an obvious, it's an earthly thing that possibly happened.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times it usually is, unfortunately. It usually is.
Yeah, people just call us hags for doing it, and it's like, no, we're not really trying to burst your bubble.
No.
You know, we're just trying to keep you practical and just use some common sense, and that's what I think that's the most thing, the biggest thing that's lacking right now in the field is just common sense. It's like it's getting overrun by technology and gizmos and gadgets and stuff. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, come on, think about it just a little bit harder.
Yeah,
you know, don't think about the numbers. Think about what's real and right in front of her face. So.
Exactly, I agree.
But before you guys kick me off, I do want everybody to go to openmag.com.
Yes, absolutely.
Openmagok.com.
Yes.
And you guys are on MySpace.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm.
We are on MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
Just look for us on you guys' profile. It's under OpenMag.
Yeah.
And,
well, what I'll do, you know what I'll do if, for people to check it out, to be able to check it out a little easier, I'll put you, this is a MySpace term, so all the cool MySpace people will know what this means.
Yeah.
I'll take your profile and put it in our top eight so people can get to it a lot easier.
Yeah. Yay, yay, yay.
See how nice
all
you
right.
are? Along with linking you on our site permanently, I'll put you in our top eight on our
MySpace
page. That'll
rock.
That'll help
and
out.
Just from the Open Mag, you can find, like, Gooley in Erie, Oklahoma, and you can find everybody there. MySpace is awesome. I'm totally addicted to it.
Hey, there's
and,
also...
Yeah,
there's
I'm finding dates and stuff. I'm single, and I'm, like, I have a social life now.
There's
I'm like,
also,
this is awesome.
There's also MyParaSpace. .com.
I surfed through that. I didn't have time to spend a lot of time because I'm addicted to MySpace. But but yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah,
but you got.
I
appreciate you guys having us on.
No, we appreciate you coming on. It's been a lot of fun, and best of luck you guys with OpenMag.
Yeah, well, thanks, and you know, we'll probably call you for an interview, and we're going to be doing a segment about internet radio.
Oh, well.
And,
we'd love to be a part of it.
We do an internet radio show.
Yeah, we do an internet radio show.
Yeah,
I know you do. I think I've actually been on your show before, like a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I think I have.
Well, hey.
I'm pretty sure I have.
We crossed paths again. Hang tight for one second, Tanya. Stay on the line. Let's take a quick break, though.
Thank you, Tanya.
Okay.
Yeah. Say hi to Tanya.
You are very welcome.
Yeah,
stay on the line for a moment.
Stay on the line for one moment. Yeah. This is I can't, you know, we have to give Tanya credit for, like, doing this whole interview, basically, in a haunted house.
Right.
I'm like, thank you.
She feels safer with us on the phone. Yeah.
I've never done an interview like this before. Though.
I think
this
I just
crazy.
Ghost hunted
vicariously through
Tanya.
Exactly.
I know.
Let's take a quick break, though. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott O.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
this would be the rule, that someone would have to wait. And if I were an old man returning to the streets that I once knew, I don't believe I'd be earning, drive it again and over and over and over to change. And I've been finding myself dreaming of the past. Won't you tell me, please, can't you tell me, won't you tell me why you won't last? The streams, and there goes my life with all of my dreams, and there go the mountains, and there go the streams, and there goes my life with all of my dreams, and there go the mountains, and there go the streams, and there goes my life with all of my dreams, and there go the mountains.
Welcome back to Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And, wow, this show's been flying. I got paperwork flying all over the place here. I don't know where anything's at. And I thought I had everything organized.
Well, I hope
here.
It didn't abhort itself somewhere else.
I'll find it after the show.
I mean, we were just talking to a lady actually ghost hunting as we were talking.
Yeah.
So that,
yeah.
Who knows what could have happened.
Well, exactly. Who knows? Like I said, I think I got this together now. Okay, we're happening. We're cool. We're ready to go. We do have on the line. Well, Doug, do you want to introduce this gentleman?
Well, I have, yes. I would consider it an honor and a pleasure to introduce Dr. John J. Harper, who's a clinical hypnotherapist, futurist, medical research scientist, public speaker, and writer with the nonprofit corporation American Delphi Academy. He's a graduate of the American Institute of Hypnotherapy, California College for Health Sciences, and Central Washington University. He's a former computer specialist, electronics engineer, and senior mental health counselor with the Department of Defense and a disabled veteran of the U.S. Army. Today, he's a radio TV talk show guest in Canada, USA, and the UK, speaking to our worldwide changes in climate, culture, and consciousness over all else. John and Connie have 3 adult children and 8, oh wow, I don't know how you do it, 8 grandchildren, and reside in Spokane, Washington, the city that means, in its Native American translation, Children of the Sun. His website is www.johnjayharper.com, johnjayharper.com, and you spell out the middle name J.
John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. It's great to be with you.
Thank you so much. Well, obviously by your bio, and I read this thing today, and I'm like, okay, this is one of these people that, you know, they're a mystery to mankind themselves of how they keep up, more or less. How do they keep up? And how do you keep up, John?
A lot of meditation and drinking green tea.
That'll do it, yeah.
See, most people just do a lot of drinking.
Yeah, that'll help too occasionally.
But I have to say, it sounds like, from the bio, it sounds like you went from hardcore science. I mean, those are deep, heavy fields. The computer is extremely logical. And then, of course, they've taken, psychotherapy and stuff like that is very, very hard science with the theories and things like that. And now you're studying metaphysics? Wow, that's quite a jump.
Well, you know, I didn't do it by choice. I was forced into it by a metaphysical experience I had back in June of 1988. I had a friend of mine who served in the U.S. Army with me, both in the States and overseas in Nuremberg, Germany. We were missile guys. We were actually real left brain. We were part of that Wernher von Braun crew and that technology, the Redstone Rocket community at U.S. Army Missile Command, Redstone Arsenal, Alabama. We got shipped overseas, and we served in the Army together for a couple years. Mm-hmm. Came back, went to the University of Alabama School of Engineering together, and he became a physicist. His name was George Vigay, and he was from Plaquemine, Louisiana. But that's how I, you know, like to jump into the metaphysics, because at age 40, he died suddenly in November 1987, Monday morning, 9:30 a.m., a classic time, according to cardiologists, that, you know, if you just don't want to go back to work, well, you just drop dead, I guess, sometimes. But,
Jeez, okay.
Yeah, it was heavy. You know, I'm a little lighthearted about it now because it's been about, 15-plus years, but it really rocked me hard. I was this very close friend. His wife and my wife were good friends. We had 2 daughters that were born very similar in time, both in Germany and in Huntsville together. So anyway, we were close kind of, you know, friends. And when he suddenly died and his wife called me that morning, actually it was about noon that day, about 3 hours after the event, I got that call. And so my life was just rocked to the ground from the grief. And I really became kind of totally disoriented. I mean, I was just, like I say, in that deep shock phase. But 6 months later, after he died, he appeared at 4 a.m. to me in physical form at the foot of my bed, and my life has never been the same since.
Wow. So he actually, you what you're saying is he actually appeared in front of your bed?
At 4 a.m. in June of 1988, okay, in a town called Silverdale, Washington, where I grew up and actually had moved back to get away from my grief. I quit my job working for the government in Alabama and transferred with the U.S. Navy. That morning, I started to wake up in what I thought was a lucid dream, and I kind of started shaking my head awake because I saw my friend standing, if you will, in front of my mind's eye. And I thought, well, you know, this is an interesting dream. He was dressed funny, and that's what really kind of shocked me. He was in a Hawaiian shirt with a beachcomber hat. And you guys are going to really love this. It's in the book, but it's a true story. Mm-hmm. He had flattened metal beer cans stuffed in the middle on this hat band that he was wearing on his head.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And here is what, about a year later, this is what got me started researching for my book and ultimately led to Transformers Shamans of the 21st Century, my new book that was just released last month.
Mm-hmm.
After He died. I went to the funeral home that evening and met his family, which had come up from Louisiana to North Alabama for the funeral service. It was a very elaborate Catholic funeral. I was a pallbearer. And I went to the front of the funeral home where his casket was lying, and I looked down at him, and he looked very peaceful, and he was in a brand-new three-piece suit and very much the distinguished physicist that I knew and worked with for many years.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, very softly in my mind, kind of trying to be lighthearted, I said to my friend George, but in my own mind, I said, George, a joke's a joke. Let's go get a beer.
Wow.
And that's the kind of friends we were. I mean, we could laugh about life, death, and everything in between, but this is pretty heavy stuff, you know. And I was stressed, of course. And,
oh, yeah.
But 6 months later, guys, here's what happened. When I saw George, I saw those metal, flattened metal beer cans in his hat band, this beachcomber hat, this mm-hmm. white hat. And it struck me as very comical, and I said, okay, my mind's playing a trick on me, and that's pretty cute. That's a pretty cute way to lighten things up here. But a year later, as I was recollecting on this experience, and I had never been this – once that happened, that whole year went by in a flash. I started doing research on physics and metaphysics and light phenomenon, and we can get into that later. But
yeah.
What happened to me there was I recollected what I said to him in the funeral home 6 months prior, and I realized that he had read my mind, that he was showing me by this old beer can in the hat band trick
mm-hmm.
that he had actually heard me, see. And when he appeared to me with that image, he was saying to me, John, I was there. I'm not dead.
Wow. And see, those are the things. We hear stories like that over and, like, you know, over.
Don't
and over.
Do that to me, Scott L.
What?
If
I'm just
going to
kick you in the head.
Yeah.
Man. You're going to have a lucid dream of my foot going upside your head. That's all you're going to have.
That's what I'll have. Or vice versa. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's the new plan.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Wow. That is life changing. And your life did change quite a bit because of that, obviously. Amazing. And you wrote, okay, this story is in Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century.
Yes.
And, you know, what's interesting, you had mentioned, and this is really interesting, as we talk tonight, I want folks to know that they've actually opened up their ordering line, for U.S. and Canada,
mm-hmm.
so you can get this book that we'll be talking about stories from the book and mm-hmm. stories from your, hopefully from your life and everything you've learned in this quest. And they've opened up their order line. Their order line is 1-866-585-1355. So
check that out. Yeah.
So
definitely.
Check it out. Yeah, during the show, 1-866-585-1355, U.S. and Canada only. But well, we're pretty much heard all over the world. But
yeah.
U.S. and Canada. Well, we'll be talking about the book that can be ordered through that phone number. So.
Absolutely.
Right, and you can also go to the website. Then you'll see options for Amazon, Barnes and Noble. You can get signed copies if you'd like an autographed copy. We have an option there where we pay for all their shipping and handling and all that good stuff. Also, get an e-book download immediately if you want one for $3.33, the sacred number for opening the third eye.
Not bad.
Not bad.
We were just talking the other week about 33 being
powerful.
Yeah, now I've noticed it. There we go.
There you go. There it is. It's right there.
And so your life changed. You went from totally... you know, science, I mean, we're talking rocket stuff.
We're talking a first-class geek.
to seeing, you know, your friend, your deceased friend at the foot of your bed. And a lot of people, and I know people who've seen phenomena. For example, Joe up at the Fenton Hotel.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Joe had seen phenomena happen. He didn't see an actual ghost, but he saw a physical phenomena. Glass,
mm-hmm.
glass, you know, came out, hovered, and then dropped to the floor for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they still choose to ignore it or say, okay, something must have been going on. You know, I imagined, I dreamed, I did something. But this was real to you, right?
This was... solid state, you might say. And here's another interesting point. My friend looked like his skin had changed dramatically. He was dressed in this Hawaiian luau shirt and beachcomber hat. I saw all the features in his face, but he looked like an oriental ice sculpture beneath it.
Wow.
You remember the movie The Abyss, this crystal clear water
picture? Oh, yeah.
That's exactly how he looked underneath this clothing.
Oh, wow. So he was like...
Now, this is the interesting point, guys, because when I started doing research to find out how a guy, like a left-brain guy with a, you know, plastic pocket saver and a white shirt, black tie, could do this kind of stuff back in 1988, I realized that I had to connect spirit and physical science together, or it wasn't going to work for me. In other words, I knew that the religious folks had something going for them. I knew the science guys had something going for them, but no one was talking across disciplines yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started researching DNA, you know, and I realized that DNA must be immortal. If my friend was still alive and still in the physical form that I remember him in, then he had the ability to shapeshift like a shaman, if you will, but into this new physical form. And sure enough, now that's good science. I've got reports stacked here half a foot high in my home library, and I also document this thoroughly in my book, of course, but there's a lot of good research that the general public is not aware of. That this is not woo-woo science anymore. We need to get with it and start talking and sharing more and more about this stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's one thing I'm looking at right now. You were talking about, you mentioned DNA here, and how, you know, this could be the link, so to say, between these two worlds, possibly, you know, in a high level kind of way of saying that. How does that work? I mean, how does that work? So, I mean, now what I'm saying, like what I'm reading here, kind of is, you know, what you've said is that one DNA molecule can simply be reconfigured through 20 amino acids. Okay, which, that's like, you know, I was never a big chemistry guy in high school. That was never my thing. But what you're saying, obviously, and we all know this, is that the DNA molecule itself, it is really, I mean, scientifically, it is the true building blocks of life. That's very true. But basically, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the mechanics of that. How, I mean, is there any way, do you know how that would mechanically kind of work to
Absolutely.
Make this sort of thing happen?
I can run us through that real quick. There won't be any quiz, so you guys relax.
Oh,
thank God!
What a relief.
I'm thinking back to Mr. Beamer in seventh grade. I don't want to think about this anymore. Thank you.
So the way this is shaping up in the scientific community, and I want to plug a guy here, Dr. Colm Kelleher, who worked for the National Institute for Discovery Science. He wrote a very interesting paper, and it's the only technical thing I'm going to throw in here for a second. Mm-hmm. But the paper is called Retrotransposons as Engines of Human Bodily Transformation. Let me boil that down.
That's a mouthful, jeez.
And a mindful. What Dr. Kelleher was doing, he was hired by an aerospace corporation down in Nevada a few years ago to look at anomalous kind of events, paranormal, if you will, events. And he was actually on the trail of UFOs and alien abductions. I mean, this is a hardline PhD-type biologist and chemist.
Mm.
And he used to have the ability to just, you know, jump into a jet and go here, there, and everywhere on the planet investigating these things.
Mm.
What he discovered was that in the literature, as he started looking at paranormal kind of literature, he saw that the human body could be transformed under certain conditions. One was meditation. There was documented cases of Tibetan monks and others who could literally radiate light within a certain state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, these guys have been wired up at the Menninger Clinic in Topeka, Kansas years ago. They did these kinds of studies, and now they're being done at University of Arizona, University of New Mexico, and there's other major universities looking into these things. But the point is that DNA became the common interface between, you might say, physics and metaphysics, science, religion, or matter and spirit, because DNA is a liquid crystal. It cannot be destroyed. It can only reconfigure or shape-shift itself. And what you guys were saying earlier here about the 20 amino acids, we got to remember there's only one DNA molecule in the human race. There's only one. We are all a subset of that one DNA molecule. The 20 amino acids are reconfigured a little differently to give us some of our individuality, but we got to remember there's only one human being on this planet, and we are all it.
Oh, okay. See, now I'm learning something here. I mean, I should have learned it back in seventh grade with Mr. Beamer, but I didn't. So now I'm learning it now, thank goodness.
I had Mr. Fitzmaurice, and I think he's probably angry at me right now.
But that
goes a long way to talk about the interconnectedness of all things.
Oh,
I
yeah.
If you know, you and I are not all that dissimilar, but at
well,
the same time...
Well, physically speaking, we're both round.
Well, so you're in perfect shape, in other words.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, we're perfectly round.
We're perfectly round. But, it, yeah, what does that mean, though, to us in our daily lives? I mean, how does that explain telepathy? Does that explain EFT, that kind of stuff? How can it... You know, how can sharing the DNA cause us to have these stories of phenomena happening over centuries?
Well, here we go then into phase two of this. Okay, if you look at DNA, you can't see it with the naked eye. It's at a light frequency. You need an electron microscope. We've heard this before, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? Okay, so if you can't see it, and yet we're made out of it. We're made out of something invisible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. What is that invisible stuff? It is light. It is light frequencies that are bouncing off of each other. These signals of information and energy are bouncing around inside this body and everything else we see. I mean, we're breathing DNA through the air. Mm-hmm. We're drinking DNA through the water, the food, etc. That's why everything is interconnected, why all the shamans and medicine people and all the mystics throughout the ages talk about, you know, I am one with you and you are one with me. Okay, that's how, because this DNA intercommunication is going on at a level that we cannot see in our normal state of consciousness. Mm-hmm. However, when you get into the trance state, the state of the shaman, whether you do it biochemically through a substance like DMT, dimethyltryptamine, or LSD, mm-hmm. or if you use ayahuasca, the sacred vine of the Amazonian shamans, mm-hmm. it really is just, that's just a catalyst. That's like jet propelling, you know, kicking in the afterburners into this state of consciousness. But I found through my own life experience, usually through very stressful experiences, I have the ability to go into those states of mind and gather information. And my experience of it has been, it's like downloading a massive set of information through the computer, through the internet. I mm-hmm. think the computer is a metaphor for this process.
And that is totally fascinating when you think about that. I mean,
yeah.
this whole idea. I mean, and you know, I was the whole time you were saying this, you're like, you know, this is an invisible force that's bouncing around, so to say. And I'm thinking, well, it's got to be the soul then. It must be your soul, right? But I think it's something more than that. It sounds like it's something more than that. There's more to it than just saying, well, we all have a soul, and that's what drives us to the light or whatever you want to say. The idea, it's like nothing I've ever heard before, to be honest with you. It's an amazing concept, Doug.
Well, it sounds like energy cannot be created nor destroyed. Or,
well, absolutely, yeah.
I really like that. When you're in the trance state, though, I know I'm probably leaping, but this is what does it look like? Here's why I ask. First, let me tell you why I ask. Okay, I'm a huge fan of Edgar Cayce. And Edgar Cayce was a prophet from the, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s, who would go into a sleep state. He would self-induce a sleep state, and he would be asleep. I mean, he wouldn't remember any of this, but people would ask him questions, and his secretary would write it down. And then they have all those archives or all those transcriptions at the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia, I think.
Mm-hmm. Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Yes, Virginia Beach, Virginia. So he would do that. He tried to describe it to people, right? And the best he could come up with was sometimes it would look different, you know, depending on what he was doing or what he was, you know, going after. But once he described it, the thing that I can picture is it was like a hall of records. You know, mm-hmm. one was like a huge library, bigger than you can imagine.
Yeah.
And in the center of this library was this huge book. and he would go to the book and you know, look through this book to find out the information. But, of course, he was only going after whatever they asked him for. But you go in the trance state, and you can get, like, tons of information. What does it look like? How do you experience this state?
Well, it depends on, I think, the way the person is configured, him or herself, in terms of, you're right, you're onto something here. What is it you're going for? What's your intention? What is your desire to receive this information. Usually with me, I clear my mind. I'm not really going after anything specific, but obviously there's things churning around subconsciously. And what I discover is that it's a feeling of being electrified. I mean, I feel like I'm walking into the middle of a huge electromagnetic field of energy. It's not a frightening process, or it's not an overwhelming process, but it's one of very subtle fields of energy and information just kind of dancing around. And just, you know, it's like literally sticking your mind into the internet is the best I can do for you. And sometimes that information does form images in my mind's eye. Usually, though, it's an instant knowing. I know beyond a doubt that what I've been given is the truth. I mean, say it was a mathematical equation that I'd never seen before, I would know the answer, but it might take me 6 months to figure out the mechanics of how I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this is the classic aha experience of people who have creative breakthroughs in the sciences and music and art. This is not anything that strange, but what it is what I think our future is going to be like. We are headed towards becoming fifth-dimensional telepathic beings.
That is so wow. This is some really heavy stuff here, John. You're laying this on. I mean, and though this is,
I love it.
But see, thing is, I love it too. The thing is, though, is a lot of it really. I mean, from it makes sense though. That's what really blows me away. Is that a lot of it really makes a lot of sense as far as how things work. And I know, Doug, you are the Edgar Casey guru of ghostly talk. You are the man. Hey, John, why don't we take a quick break, though, okay? Because, you know, this is one of those meltdown shows. I'm feeling it. So we're gonna need to take this information in smaller doses, you know? I don't want to, like, just pass out, like, halfway through this thing. That's just,
me either.
It gets ugly like that. Let's take a quick break, though. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott Allen.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
We'll be right back after this.